Hello, thank you for joining us today. My name is Susan McClellan from ILTA, and we would like to welcome you to the second in our series, which is covering trial support A to Z. Throughout this year, we are delivering programming on various aspects of trial support. We're also providing supporting materials such as checklists for the setup of trial breakout rooms and for courtrooms. Joining us today is Karen Pearson and Patrice Fatigue from the Ohio Attorney General Antitrust Section. In this podcast, we will be discussing legal project management, and Karen is going to start our discussion. Please start, Karen.
Hello. Welcome to this podcast. I'm going to start out with a quote, surprise, surprise, from everybody's favorite go-to Wikipedia about project management. Project management encompasses organization, planning, control, and monitoring of all tasks and resources required to achieve the defined project goals and objectives. Now, we're going to emphasize today legal project management. There's many types of project management depending on if it's for IT or construction. This is legal. And my outline is based on my experience in a complex litigation cases. Yours could be slightly different. And I would say the project management is going to be defined by the type of case that you're dealing with, whether it's a one-party plaintiff, one-party defendant, or multiple plaintiffs, multiple defendants, whether it's simple or complex, your management tasks will be different and your style might be different. Project management is a diverse task. And who fills this role? Well, you could have a certified project manager, a lawyer, a paralegal, which is my background, lit support people, or a legal secretary. How do you become a project manager? Well, you can learn it by experience, or you could obtain education and certification. There are actual legal project management classes you can take, one through Georgetown University, and there is also a certification called CAPM, which is Certified Associate in Project Management, which if you go through the Georgetown, you will get that certification. And the other way is just through gritty determination experience in the legal realm and volunteering with a capital V. The primary role is you are the oar that steers the boat. You're the go-to person. You know the who, what, when, where, how. And if you don't know, you need to find out and ask questions. Be diplomatic but firm in your role. Do not do everyone else's work. That is not your role. Make people responsible for their own deadlines and projects and reassign or seek help when necessary. Project manager duties. I would say the most important one is communication with your team. It's critical for any project and is timely and effective communication. Another thing that I've learned through trial and error is please don't overdo emails. They just confuse everyone, especially when someone's responding, okay, and that's going to 20 people. Communication is a two-way street. Don't assume everyone knows what you know and you know what everybody else may know. That's a mistake. Team meetings are where the real communication can go down for everyone all together. Very important. And I would say that another very important part, you're not a budget person, but be aware and mindful of the B word, your budget. Keep within your budget, and if you have to go over, you need to talk to the persons that can okay that for you. Don't take the responsibility for that, because that can come back to haunt you. Organize and centralize. Organization is key, and the method is up to you. It can be something as simple as weekly task lists. Use your Outlook calendars, which most people have. Use spreadsheets, checklists, a SharePoint site too. Goal setting. The project or litigation has a life cycle. Have realistic expectations and know that litigation is crazy. There are going to be changes, setbacks, but also completion of tasks on time are necessary, which leads us to timelines. There are very organic tools. They must be developed from the starting gate and changed or attitude as needed. Excel works great for this, but I'm sure there are other software programs available. I'm just not as familiar with those. Dedicated calendar, a dedicated calendar, not a calendar that has everybody's everything. Create a dedicated calendar just for your case and manage the scheduling of it. Because there's going to be hard and soft deadlines and due dates, meeting times, locations, and use reminders ahead of deadlines, not on the day of the deadline. That's not very appreciated. So it's okay to give someone on your team or your team a few reminders ahead of a deadline, especially if it's court mandated. Team meetings. I can't emphasize how important these are because it's just shared knowledge. You're responsible for scheduling the meeting, sending out the invites, and reserving the space. The frequency of the meeting may change as the litigation goes on and there may be a need for special meetings with only part of the team. The frequency of meeting may change. Take notes or have someone take notes. This is really, really important. And post those notes, I would say, within 24, 48 hours after the meeting. People always refer to them. And then there's no question of who said what or who was assigned what or what deadlines are coming up. And please disseminate them in a spot where everybody can get them along with the to-do list. It's also important to have your agenda prepared and keep the items on your agenda in order of importance. Please stay on topic and don't be afraid to schedule a separate meeting for a topic that is complex and requires more direct attention and maybe just a few of the team members. Also, choosing vendors. This can be done at any time. And do your due diligence if you make recommendations, if it is your responsibility, but make sure either you or someone else on the team is going to choose the vendors for your various needs. Now we're into the litigation. Number one rule, keep your sanity because somebody has to. Change is inevitable, and be prepared to work more hours and harder. It's just part of what we do. Depositions are coming up. You might be responsible for managing those. And then we get into discovery. Your lit support, your IT, and vendors are going to be your best friends during this. So please be on top of that. And if you're not an expert in it, get someone who is on your team. Now we get into trial preparation. It's all hands on deck. The attorneys are in control at this point, and they're the captains of the ship, okay? Carry out their commands, but also keep them on task as well. Sometimes things can fall through the cracks. It's okay to remind them, like, what about this? What about that? We have this due this weekend. You want to make sure nobody's mind is exploding at this point and work together as a team. No job is too small or unimportant, such as travel arrangements, courtroom setups, tech issues, copying, packing supplies at this point. Everybody has an important role to play, and we all will have different roles. And if someone asks you to do copies and it's usually not your job, please go ahead and do it. Get prepared for trial in every sense of the word and assign tasks for each component. The trial's coming up. As legal project manager, your role may diminish a little bit at this point because the attorneys really are in control and the paralegals, but be available 24/7 to do what is asked and follow through with getting the results that are required. Now it's time to wrap it up. Document destruction is a huge task. And this can, if you have a lot of paper, this can be very time consuming, but it has to be done. There's also case closing. You might have a checklist for that, depending. Sit back and take a deep breath and pat yourself on the back if you made it through these storms. Now might be the time to reward your team. Pizza party or a nice lunch will do. So these are my thoughts. And I'm sure there's a lot of things that I probably didn't discuss in this legal project management, but it's such a flexible and organic role, and it will depend on how big, how small the case is, and how many team members are available, and how long your litigation goes on. Hi, Patrice. I wonder if you had any comments you wanted to make.
No, I have a few comments. One is that the communications, in the cases that I've worked on, communications is very important. We decided that we were going to use a paper calendar in one of our cases, just so that the people could gather around it as opposed to around a computer screen, because not everybody could gather around the computer screen. So we actually had physical maps so that the litigation team were actually able to stand there and discuss, communicate with each other what was coming up in the deadlines and the projects, and able to handle the workload that they saw coming down the road in a more comprehensive manner than had been before they were able to do the discussion. Communications is so important, because if you have information that you think might be useful, you need to share it. Information, as you said, is power. And by sharing this information, it is more powerful to the group, to the team. So communications, I think, as you pointed out, is probably one of the most important aspects between the project manager and their team. But remember, you can't take it all on yourself, as you said. I loved your illustration of rowing the boat, because if you try to row the boat all by yourself, you may end up just going in circles, and you're not going to go anywhere. And going in circles can sometimes take you down the drain, and that's not where you want to be.
No.
So you're in it together. You're a team. And remembering that you're a team is, as the quarterback on the field calls those plays, as he or she communicates to you what needs to be done, you're a team, and everybody is as important as the other. But the project manager, you're up there helping move the team forward, and that's the goal.
ILTA has published a really nice white paper called Project Management Ensuring Smooth Navigation, which we will be posting on the website. There's some Wikipedia pages that we'll be posting. I'm developing a checklist of some sort, and that will be posted. I did want to elaborate a little more on, if you are interested in becoming or studying about legal project management, many paralegal studies programs, such as Georgetown's course in legal project management, can qualify the students to test for the Certified Associate in Project Management, it's called a CAPM, or the Gold Standard Project Management Professional, PMP, credential from the Project Management Institute. A typical paralegal PMP course covers the five basic project management phases: initiation, planning, execution, monitoring, and completion, while focusing on implementation in the legal field. Project management studies also address topics as varied as risk management, human resources, and cost control. So check those out if you're interested, and we will have links. I thank everyone for listening, and I hope this has been helpful to you.
Well, thank you, Karen and Patrice, for sharing this information today. To our listeners, we hope that you found this podcast to be useful as part of our series, and please look out for the next podcast, which will cover preparation for trial. Thank you once again to everyone for joining us today. Goodbye.